Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome all to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here on yet another episode. Super, super excited about our guest today. But don't forget to visit our website, fshdsociety.org. You can also find past podcasts anywhere you find our podcasts that you love and enjoy outside of this one. So that would be like Spotify and Google and so forth. Go ahead and just search FSHD Radio. In these episodes, we love to bring in people that kind of give us their, you know, diagnosis story, then what are they doing with their lives after, and how do they quest or keep going, keep positive? Maybe there's times that they don't. Well, how did they work through that? And today is one of those types of guests. We have here Bev Werding. She is coming from us from California area, so I'm glad we could connect. We talked about that earlier, not getting up too early before we hit record, but thanks, Bev, for being here and taking some time.
Thank you.
Hi. So let's kind of start. I love to start like from the beginning, because I know some people that are watching or listening, you know, they're going to ask, you know, who is Bev and what does she have to bring? Is she a scientist? Is she, you know, is she a clinician? You know, because we have all these kinds of guests coming from all different aspects of FSHD or MD world. But for you, you are a patient, right? You have MD, and that kind of where it gets a little cloudy, right? We're not, you were maybe diagnosed with, I think, limb girdle first, and then there might be like a shift in that. Talk a little bit about that and those kind of beginning days of a diagnosis.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim, for the introduction.
Sure.
I have to say that, first of all, when I was diagnosed with MD, it came as relatively a shock because I didn't know anything about MD. Mm-hmm. And so when I was tripping and kind of falling, the hardest thing was when at work, and I was in my 50s, I was always wanting to stay fit. So I would climb the stairs, and my office was on the fifth floor. And I noticed that I couldn't take a step. I was, my foot, my leg wasn't raising enough for that next step. So that's when I got concerned, to a point where I said, you know, Bev, you just better see a doctor, because you have no idea what's going on and it's getting serious. So when the doctor did the blood work, he came back to me and he said, you have a CPK of 7,000. And normally that's under 100. Wow. And he said, you have MD, muscular dystrophy, but we don't know what type. And there are several, as everybody knows. Mm-hmm. But I have to say that you will eventually be using a wheelchair. So at that point in my life, when I was skiing and dancing and just living life, and knowing that in 5 years I would retire and do all these other wonderful things with my friends, I was told that eventually I would be using a wheelchair.
Wow.
So I had to digest that and say, all right, go inward, because one does get anxious when they hear this. And of course, the doctor said, we'll give you methotrexate, we'll put you on IVIG, and maybe some of these types of medications and processes will help you. And they didn't. And that was like 35 years ago. So now you know that I'm not a youngster. I don't tell my age, but anyways, So it progressed slowly. Yeah. And then I did get to that point where I said, how do I live my life when I only know able-bodied people? I don't know anybody that's ever used a wheelchair. I don't know a disabled person. And so when I went into this anxious time, depression for me, I heard this little voice say, you know, Beverly, you've always enjoyed dancing. Why not start a wheelchair dancing group? And that to me was out of the question at that point. But I went online and I realized that there was one dance studio on the East Coast that taught dance instructors how to move and dance and teach somebody in a wheelchair ballroom and Latin dance styles. So when I brought this back to California, to here in San Diego, I talked to the firm that I worked with, which was the Sharp Healthcare Hospital here in San Diego, and I was their marketing director, and I also created events that were very helpful to people that wanted to learn how to stay healthy. I think I wasn't listening to myself as much as I should. So anyways, they said, okay, Beverly, you have a dance instructor. You want to share this with the community out there that want to do something. You believe in that? And I said, yes, I do. So they promoted it, and we had 40 people at this dance class. And it wasn't just people in wheelchairs. It was stand-up people. And for any dance that you do in a wheelchair that is a Latin dance or a ballroom, you need a partner. Other dances, the hip-hop, the merengue, that's another piece. And but for that period of time, now we're going back to when I was in my 50s, it was perfect. And what I saw was the fact that people like me in a wheelchair, all of a sudden we were dancing, we were holding hands with somebody, and we were moving to the music. And that brought joy to me, and obviously it brought joy to about 40 people. And from there on, we were very fortunate again to get special chairs from the Christopher Reeve Foundation. They donated 25 chairs just for dancing. And so our crowds became bigger and bigger. And I think the biggest part and the most significant part of every one of our dance classes is that we had 30 minutes of just music. And so people were able to socialize with stand-up people. And we just felt like we were just as normal as anybody else.
Yeah, kind of gave you that normalcy, that sense of belonging again. And you mentioned a key word, joy, right? And that's not always it's not always an easy word to get. You can be happy, the joy is like beyond, right? It's like almost a state of peace a little bit. So this dance studio then that you started, and you said San Diego area, that's the Wheelchair Dancers Organization, the WDO, right?
Yes.
And so that was started when? 2008?
Yeah, 2008.
Wow. But, and it's still going.
It's still going.
It is.
We are very fortunate that we, first of all, we offer all our classes free, and that is a must. We even pay for the MTS very often because, again, people that have physical challenges, they're not able to get the positions that allow them to make a salary. So that's been our core, is to offer everything free.
Wow. And so if you started with 40 people then, that was like the first class you offered. Yes. Mm-hmm. At that moment, what did you think? 40 people. I mean, my first reaction, that's a lot. For like jumping off the bat. Like, that's a lot.
That was a lot. In fact, it was a little too many people.
Yeah. Yeah. It probably was a little overwhelming. I think I think I can kind of relate when it comes to like, we run little kids baseball camps and we're never sure sometimes who shows up. Like, well, we think it'll be this many. And then all of a sudden, like, oh no, there's too many. What do we do? And you figure it out, right? You pivot, you adapt. And with someone with MD, I'm sure that is something that you've learned to do very well, right? Adapt. So you're not sure with 40 people, maybe you're thinking 5, 10, something like that. Boom, 40. Okay. And you probably adapted from there. But it must have been a good experience if it started then in 08, 40 people. How many people do you have like in a class now? Tell us, how does that scheduling work for like a given week?
Right. It depends on the class because since then, we have expanded our number of styles of dancing. When you think of ballroom and Latin, that includes the rumba, the hip hop is not part of it. So you have the waltz, you have the cha-cha, and then you have the Latin dances. And so now we have hip hop. We have Bollywood, which is beautiful. Bollywood. Wow. Our instructor is from India, and she tells us the story as we're dancing. This is a story of a young man who is romancing a girl, and at the end he gets the girl and she walks away. So the stories are wonderful, but she does it with the arms, and we can do it all. This is the beauty of having a disability. It doesn't matter if you can't even move one finger. There's always another part of you that can move to the music, even if it's just a smile.
Right.
It's okay because that person is enjoying the time of just being with music. Music does change the body.
Oh yes,
the mind and the soul. So
I can't dance at all very well, Bev. So I would need like a lot of time, you know, probably like some one-on-one sessions to get to that point. And I'm not in a wheelchair at this point, but I got the same, I call them the doom and gloom type, you know, diagnosis of you will be, and this will happen and this and that. So going back to that moment of the diagnosis part, feeling maybe a little doom and gloom, you mentioned everyone kind of goes through some anxiety, maybe even like a mourning process. I remember when I told the first person about my diagnosis besides my wife, this person has MS, and she responded to me in like, well, you're going to mourn a little bit of what you thought your life was going to be, and now it might not, and you get to adjust. So two-part question, you know, what did the doctor say? You know, did it feel like he was knocking your spirit out a little bit by telling you about this? And if so, did you have that state of like mourning for a little while? And like, how did you cope with that? Because clearly you didn't stay there very long. You move forward.
I just knew because I'm kind of like trying to live a life where I put a positive slant on things that happen.
Yeah.
And again, I just went into this. There has to be that reason for me to be doing this, because what I did in my professional life is I put together and managed seminars, conferences, workshops on how to stay healthy, take charge of your life.
Yeah.
I did workshops just for men only, which were my favorite, because they didn't know what they needed. And we were saying, hey, take care of your heart. Here's a medical physician that's going to tell you all the things that could happen. And how about your own personal life? Is work all you do, or do you have an outside activity? And it was just beautiful. I have to say, I love the fact that we didn't allow any women into that conference. It was just men only. And they just shared their heart.
Really?
And I was on, I was kind of listening, you know, opening the door to the conference room, which I wasn't supposed to do probably, but What the heck? Yeah. But that was the whole, that was me always saying, come on, there mm-hmm. has to be a reason. There mm-hmm. has to be a reason. And I found my reason is that I knew I was changing the lives of people that came to our class. Not only those in wheelchairs, but the able body. Mm. We still have some of our stand up that started 15 years ago. They're still with us.
It's amazing. So
it's a joy because they like being with us.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so, it's easy to learn how to dance. So.
Well, that's what you say. I mean, I do agree with you. I guess I got to put the effort in, right? If I want to be better at it. But for the people that have been there and they keep coming, right? And I had when you talked about the wheelchairs and that some were donated, which that's amazing. Is there a particular type that is needed, or would any wheelchair work in the dancing?
Okay, it depends on the dance style.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody comes to one of our dance fitness class, they are in their own wheelchair.
Okay.
It could be a motorized, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because they are not dancing with a partner. Mm. When you're dancing with a partner, you want to be able to move as easy as possible. And because our chairs are cambered, that means they are designed to move for dancing.
Okay.
But again, the hip hop, no, you stay in your own chair and some of the other classes that we offer.
Nice. So that was one big question. Yeah, I'm like, okay, do you have to have some type of specialty? So anybody really could. And then what's that like if you're partnered with someone that's not in the wheelchair, right? So you're partnered with someone that is in a standing position that's able to stand during the dance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For any of your ballroom or Latin dances, as if you've ever watched Dancing with the Stars,
you
have a partner.
Yeah.
We do the same thing. When I go dancing, I don't have any problem doing everything I see the able-bodied people doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing the spins. I'm doing the turns. It's easy. I just know that my wheels are like my feet.
Are your feet. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That makes sense. And in fact, you know, first off, is there a place where if people wanted to click in and watch, like YouTube or some type of platform that you have aired those?
Yes.
Okay.
A little commercial.
Yeah.
If they want to see what we're doing, we have Facebook, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we also have our website, which is the wheelchairdancers.org. That's it, wheelchairdancers.org. And you can see what we've done. I'm pretty proud of the progression of some of our dancers that have wanted to go beyond the basics.
Mm-hmm.
And we have dance instructors that have taught them beautiful dance routines. Mm-hmm. And at our fundraiser every year, people in the audience are just amazed at what we can do.
And how about the instructors? Where do you locate them? Do they come to you? Do you go and seek them out?
It's a combination.
Yeah.
You have to have some kind of a passion for dancing with people that have these challenges. They're all professional dance instructors. They have clients. This is where they make their money with performing, being part of competitions. They are the best of the best.
Okay.
And they love it. They love knowing that they can make a change in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And we have people that have spina bifida, are paralyzed. It doesn't matter the disability. We're all there and we all can have fun.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I give a lot of credit to our partners because they need to know our limitations. Because I have what I believe now, according to my latest doctor, I do have FSHD, and I can't lift my arm any harder than this. Well, sure. In ballroom dancing, when you do your spins or turns, everybody else can raise their hands higher. But the person I'm dancing with, I tell him or her, I can't raise it any higher to do that turn you want to do with me.
Yeah.
And so that person knows that's my limit. And that's important for every one of our partners. So if I had a paralysis and I'm in a motorized chair, then that partner knows that they are going to do different kinds of movements to make that person smile and feel like they're part of it.
Wow. How many hours or sessions then do they work together with their partner, like on one given dance routine or, you know? Yeah.
Well, we meet on a weekly basis for our ballroom and Latin dance class. And it's a 45-minute dance class.
Okay.
And we work on a particular style of dance. Right now, we're learning a jitterbug swing dance. Not easy. Not easy. A lot of fast movements to it. But we'll be ready to perform at our fundraiser in October.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So
that's the goal. You're working together and then you're kind of building up for that fundraiser event.
Yes. Yes. And we'll have some of our rollers will have private lessons. And I have to say, all of this is covered by foundations.
Okay.
They give us money to do this and private donors. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
So they will be able to perform a spectacular dance, something that's appropriate for their disability. Because we have some that will never be able to, they will enjoy and look wonderful.
Right. And right.
Yeah. They're not going to be the Fred Astaire.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, there's even some that are not, you know, that are able bodied, so to speak, in their dance routine, right? That are never going to be Fred Astaire either. But right. I mean, so, but it sounds like it must flow so smooth. I mean, I can just imagine, you know, as you talked about it, like the spins and the turns and, you know, kind of just as you're doing now, just kind of like you can visualize it, right?
Yes.
It is, it must be beautiful.
It is beautiful. And I see this with so many of our wheelchair dancers. They know that they now can go to any social event and dance. They are not restricted at all. In fact, it's a one way for others to say, oh my gosh, look at that person in the wheelchair. They're dancing and they're doing exactly what we're doing, except it's in a wheelchair. And that flow, that it's and being having a partner is wonderful. Now, again, some of our other dance programs where it's hip hop.
Yeah.
It's great to watch the younger. I don't do it that much.
Not your go-to. No, that's all right.
It's not my go-to, but I love it.
Yeah.
I love to watch them. And it's just joyful. You don't have to be doing everything correct, especially if you're doing a dance fitness program, which we have, and it's wonderful. So we get good turnouts for our classes.
You mentioned with the hip hop, or you said, you know, the younger generation. So like there's a younger wave generation coming into this, then it sounds like, right?
Very much so. We at one point went into schools and we had a 4-week program.
Really?
And we combined the physically challenged along with the able body. And it was in the elementary school ages because we knew that they were segregated.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you bring them together and you have the young same age, and we're saying, okay, you have to grab that person's hand, and we're going to do this particular movement, or we're going to do a little hip hop. We kept it simple, but it was so much fun. And at the end of the 4 weeks, they were talking to each other, because that's the communication is really the hardest part.
Yeah.
And I'm going to digress just a little, but I have to take it.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to do the same, because it is getting dry over here. And we're not even in the same area, Bev.
We have beautiful weather, so I'm sorry. I lived in Connecticut until I was in my 20s, and I'm happy to be out here.
Absolutely. I don't blame you.
But I have to say one thing that I have noticed being in a wheelchair, that it's very hard. It is hard for me to get over this feeling of being invisible. When I go out and I'm in my wheelchair, there's no one. I'll go to the theater. I'll go to Costco. There's no one else in a wheelchair. I'm there in a wheelchair being ignored. Wow. I don't think people do it on purpose, but I did it. I did it when I was younger. You don't know what to say.
Yeah.
You don't know where to look, so you don't look at all. And so for me, I decided I would take that wheelchair, my everyday wheelchair, and I would bling it out. I hope you know what bling means.
Yes, I do.
Glitter.
Yeah.
I have a banner that says Wheelchair Dancers Organization and the telephone number. My wheels have sparkles and everything. That allows people to say, hey, what is this all about? Tell me about it. And so that has helped me, but I've had to work at it. And but I think that the majority, they have to live with this. That if they're out there and they're alone, no one's going to talk to them.
Right.
So I'm hoping that this upcoming generation, the younger, my grandkids especially, they talk to everybody that's in a wheelchair when they're here in visiting. I hope that changes because that does isolate to the point where they want to just stay at home.
And I love the fact that when you go to an elementary school and you introduce this, with dancing, there's so many multiple things that you're teaching them. One being the communications you talk with, you know, how do you communicate with someone that looks different than you because they're in a wheelchair? What do you say? What do you do? You don't treat them invisible. And you get that comfort early on and they're around it. Love the fact that you also turn your wheelchair into a conversation starter. I mean, right? Like, here, let me break the ice for you. I'm going to make you ask about this by how I'm rolling in, right? With, I can only imagine that probably makes things easier. And to your point, no doubt, I'm guilty of it too, where it's like, okay, do I say something? Do I not say something? And I'm someone with MD. Now I'm walking, but people do say something to me because my walk stride is a little weird, or I got a little hitch in my gait, as they say. And they always say, hey, you all right? Like, you okay? Because like, you're kind of limping. I'm like, this is what I do now. That's what I say. This is my new walk, you know? And I mean, then I just kind of introduce like why, and I think that's what people have to realize, is that it's okay to say, how's it going? How's your day? And someone in a wheelchair, it's okay to treat them as anybody else. If you happen to, even if they're a stranger, right? Just that quick interaction of hello, how are you? Nothing wrong with that, right? And sometimes that opens the door, you know, and not feel invisible, and that's a shame that does happen. So with these types of shifts in dancing, of new generation coming in, so then is hip hop becoming more popular in your dance studio?
Absolutely. Hip hop. And there are different forms of hip hop. And again, our dance instructors are so cool.
Yeah.
They are able to adapt their movements. And because we have stand-ups, people too, they don't eliminate the foot movements.
Yeah.
So we're satisfying two populations.
Right.
And so it looks great. We do virtual classes and not as much as during COVID. During COVID, we did our streaming programs, and we were, our classes were held, and it people from around the world participated. And it was interesting the way we set it up, so that we had the dance instructor, and then we had the co-teacher, somebody in a wheelchair. So that as the teacher was explaining, this is the movement, she would say, or he would say, well, this is how you do it if you have a major disability, and those aren't the words they would use, but if you can't do this, then do it this way.
Yeah.
So it was adaptive dancing, which we were that was the key. Adaptive dancing to your ability.
So is there more organizations in your area besides yours? You mentioned the one that you found on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Kind of got inspired, did something similar, but you made it your own, of course, there in San Diego. Is there any other that you know of in the country or in the world, for that matter?
Absolutely. There are. And that's been the change that I have been able to see and embrace, is the fact that now this sport, and it is a sport, is offered in several areas in California, not here in San Diego, but in Chicago on the East Coast. It's out there. It's out there, and the younger generation, they're really getting into it in a different way. Yeah. Now we do know that there are other sports that have become very popular with people with disabilities. And you can do anything. You can play tennis. You can row a boat. You can surf. That wasn't available when I started the Wheelchair Dancers organization back 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So a lot of young people are trending toward those sports. Mm-hmm. And rightly so. Their able-bodied friends are doing it. Mm-hmm. But now they're able to get out on that surfboard.
Yes.
And play bocce. They can do it all.
Yeah.
There's
definitely more of a resilience, right, factor, it seems like, in this younger generation. Like, oh yeah, you said I can't. Watch this. I can't. And I give them all credit, because that takes a lot. You know, it takes a lot of emotional courage, mental strength to figure out how to do it without, and I'm sure there are struggles, right?
Yes.
When you started, I'm sure there was some struggles along the way. You know, 40 people is a great start, but then consistently keep that going, keep it built. 15 years, I mean, that is well established at this point. You mentioned with other organizations, possibly, you know, throughout the country, Chicago and whatnot, then they're like competitions. I mean, sport means competition, right?
Definitely. In fact, we just recently had one of our dance instructors perform with our dance director. She has quite a bit of dance experience.
Okay.
And they performed and competed against able-bodied dancers. And so everything they did, every movement had to be identical to what a stand-up couple was doing. Right. And they came in first.
Wow.
First. So
Wow. That is remarkable.
Nothing's impossible. You just have to believe that you can do it, and it happens.
Yeah.
We're very proud.
Wow. Yeah, you should be. And people see the end, right? They see the result. But they must have worked so hard together. Countless hours, I'd imagine, right?
Very much so. Very, very much so. And it's expensive. It's expensive. The private dance, you know, you're paying $100, if not more.
Oh, my goodness.
5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we reimburse when we can. It's important that we help if at all possible, but very often we can't do that, and they're on their own.
And you mentioned some of the partners that you have, well, maybe not by name, but obviously you can, of course, but it does take a village, doesn't it? When you have something like this, a nonprofit, you're trying to help people get more into it. The word free definitely brings more attention than you're saying, oh, it comes at such and such cost. So then you're getting more people involved in it. It spreads the word better. You know, so where do you think this would be without the sponsorships that you've had? Do you think that this would have been going for 15 years?
No, honestly, we have to be so fortunate, all of us that have a nonprofit organization, that there are foundations that will cover the cost for us, our dance instructors, and some of the operational costs that we have. Without them, I don't know where we would be. Christopher Reeve Foundation, of course, that's a big one. Everybody knows about that. But then we have the individual donors that come back every year and say, hey, I want to give you a couple of $100, a couple of thousand, and please do what it takes to continue what you're doing, because it is making a difference in the lives of so many people.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of people watching, listening, that had no idea something like this even existed, that it was even possible. I know my parents loved to go dance. That's how they met. You know, they met dancing. They didn't stop. They said they didn't even go on a regular date for like almost the first year, as in like a movie or something like that. They just went dancing. So I always heard about it. And I always heard their love of the ballroom dancing, or love of dancing in general. They would constantly watch the competitions and stuff on TV. So I was around it to some degree. I didn't obviously jump into it as much as they did, but I could appreciate the athleticism and the timing and the coordination. It's unbelievable. There's a lot of effort that goes into it. So when you talk about someone that wins a competition and we all get to see that end result, my goodness, there's just, it's, we got to also appreciate the hard work that went into it. And that's not possible without, especially in your avenue of those people helping out those foundations, helping each other, so that you can produce this. So I wanted to make sure that didn't go without saying, you know.
Absolutely. That's so important. And I started dancing when I was 5 years old. It was common.
It's always been in your life.
Yeah, it's always been. My mother said, you have to lose weight. I said, but Mom, you and grandmother, you feed me all this Italian food. What do you expect? I'm heavy. Well, you have to lose the weight. So I started at 5 years old. And of course, I kept it going until I was in high school. It's just a beautiful thing for dancing is wonderful. Now, as far as my my husband, he passed. But he never could dance.
No. And you married him anyway.
I did. And then I was able-bodied at that point, but it's okay. I knew that my dancing, when I had to think in my head again, what do I do? How do I help others? And when dancing came up, I said, okay, I can dance, and now I can find some dance partners.
Right. To dance with. There's plenty now. You have a whole, organization full of dance partners. Was there ever a point that you worried, through the early stages of the MD dealing with, because it's a slow progression in some degrees, right? It starts taking away certain things. Did you ever get worried that you weren't going to be able to dance then?
That's a question that I think anybody that has a muscular dystrophy or any disease where there's a progression of weakness of muscle, and it never stops. It never stops. And of course I say, oh my God, what is next? How am I going to handle that? going from being able to walk and then using a cane and then having right. to use a wheelchair. And my doctor recently said, well, do you want a motorized chair? And I said, no, I don't yeah. want that. I don't want that. I mean, I want to stay where I am, and I want to make sure that through dance, I can stay healthy and and utilize those muscles that are deteriorating through the disease. So it's sometimes hard. It's sometimes hard because we don't know having this, I don't know, I should say, what's going to happen next.
Right.
And I just have to stay positive and know that I am in charge of my own health.
Right. Yeah.
And stay busy. That's great advice. I think that's the thing. The key is to really keep your mind active in doing things, whether it's volunteering for some
organization. Yeah.
or just being with happy people and doing what it takes to not say poor me. The poor me never works. It never works.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't. And you're a great example of that. It sounded like you didn't really sit in that space too long. You're around it in your profession. And there's a reason for that. You obviously adapt that direction. It can be tough for others, of course. We're all different. But this is good inspiration, Bev. You being here talking about this, and I think it is. And I think this is what, you know, even if it's not necessarily dancing for some, then what is your dancing? And what is your thing? What is the thing you thought you were going to end up having to leave behind? Maybe you don't. And for you, you weren't going to leave dancing behind. You were going to figure out a way to do it. And it wasn't even selfishly. You did it so it would help other people, you know, and that to me is very admirable. What a legacy that you get to leave then, right?
I guess so. I don't know.
I think so. I think so. You know, I think that's what most people would love, right? It's what can we leave behind? What is that? What is that? If it's an organization or something that you can pass to somebody. And dancing has always been part of my life on the outskirts. And so when I heard your story, I thought, this is phenomenal. I've never even heard anything like this before. I would think dancing would be over. And you're like, no, it's not. This is what we do. And it's beautiful. So in closing, I know you mentioned the website earlier, but I want you to definitely say that now. Where can people find more information about this? And are you reachable? You know, maybe someone wants to just kind of, you know, get some thoughts off of you a little bit. Maybe they want to start something like this in their area.
Absolutely. I am reachable. I don't know what you would like to. I mean, I could give my telephone number or just my...
Maybe the best is like on the website. Is there like a contact on there that they can do that?
There is a contact. And yes, if they use it through our website, I will get it. It will filter down to me.
Perfect.
I would love to hear from anybody that would love to start something that is similar to what we have done. Or just talk about life and what one can do. Because there are so many possibilities out there.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Bev, for joining us. Once again, it's wheelchairdancers.org, right? Check that out. Get there right away. soon as you're done listening to this episode, jump on it. And I'll also plug for Bev that I'd imagine there's also a place if they felt inclined to help donate to your cause too, right? I think that's also important to mention. That is very, very important. I work for nonprofits and I know how valuable that is, even a little means a lot. So whatever you can do to help. Yes. So thanks, Bev, for joining us. Be well. Take care. Keep dancing.
All right. I shall. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
That is Bev Wording. She is an amazing guest that has been on the show here today. And I knew I wasn't going to have to really say much, to be honest with you. I had great background that she sent to me, and I had a lot of fun investigating a lot about what wheelchairdancers.org is and how it started in 08 and just the amazing things that they are capable of doing to inspire others to keep doing what is their dancing. And what I mean by that is, you know, for me, I'm no doubt, I'm worried that at some point as I can still move to some degree, I can't run, really can't even jog anymore. Walking is even becoming hard. Legs are getting tired, weak, et cetera. I know, right? We all have these things that we're coping with. And with me coaching baseball, that's like my dancing thing. Like, what can I do? Can I even do this? I'd have to learn how to adapt. I'd have to learn how to figure it out. And like Bev, I found some similarities where I created an organization where, you know, can I make baseball for more people in my community? I do have thoughts of how can I make baseball adaptive baseball within our organization? So there is ways that I think we can tap in to go, okay, my life is going to change. It's going to change drastically, possibly over time, as Bev mentioned, from walking to not, to cane, to walker, to rollator, to manual wheelchair, to power equipment. What this progression, it doesn't sleep, it doesn't stop, it continues its progress on us. And what can we do if we can keep our minds focused on the positive as much as we possibly can? It's not going to be 100% ever. And surround yourselves with positive people. That's the advice. And when I bring in people like Bev, I'm trying to surround us all with some positive people. And thank you to the FSHD Society for allowing this platform to happen so we can do that. I know there's the science of it. I know we want to hear about a cure. We want to hear about a treatment. We want to hear that there's something on the horizon. And it maybe not for my generation, but maybe for the next. And I do wish that for all. And we have to strive for that. And that's why, you know, events like, you know, World FSHD Day are important, and the walk and roll, even though some might criticize as in, you know, donating or, you know, funds and fund this or that, it is needed. It is important. Money is unfortunately what we need to kind of funnel for the cure for these things and also for mental health, which means when wheelchairdancers.org is a nonprofit, they need funding as well to keep going, because in the grand scheme of things, they're helping adapt for those that are coping with whatever disease, as Bev said, it's not just MD. So that gives them something to look forward to, something to do, something that maybe they loved dancing before. They thought they're going to have to say goodbye to it. She's offering another window, another path where you don't. You can do it like this. Is it the same? Well, no, but it still feels good. It still is a positive thing you can add to your life. So I guess I challenge you, what's your positive thing in your life? Are you going to be negative, criticize things, even criticize nonprofits or other places that are trying to help? Or are you going to help? Or are you going to dive into something that you don't want to lose? Don't let the disease take yet another thing, right? You have to stop it from happening. And to me, the mindset is one of those things we can control. It takes sometimes help, and I'm hoping that you hear me on that and that I'm here to help you. Keep reaching out to me. You can do that. There's always that portal. For me, my email is fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. Reach out to me. You want to talk? You want to be on the show? Want to talk about episodes? You want to talk about what I do? I'm here. So I throw that out there. Reach out to Bev as well at wheelchairdancers.org. Thank you very much for being here on this show. Real quick before we close up shop, though, make sure that you go to fshdsociety.org. Click on the calendar button. There's a lot of chapter meetings going on. When this is airing, there's a lot of events happening. The walk and roll is coming up, so getting excited about that. More to come on those events. That's the best way to stay in tune. Follow on social media, all the FSHD Society events and things, including this podcast. Find us on Spotify. That's where I get all my stuff. We're always available there and of other podcast platforms. So take a look, follow us, tell your friends that we are one of the only FSHD podcasts out there. So at least in this format, where we want to hear from you, and this is a show for you, many aspects of the disease, not just the science. So thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time on the FSHD Society Radio Show. Take care. Be well. Bye-bye.